When Americans look skyward for the first coast-to-coast solar eclipse in 100 years, many will do so wearing funny little glasses to protect their eyes. Or at least ones that should protect their eyes. For it turns out that the shadiest part of the eclipse is the abundance of counterfeit glasses that have flooded the market thanks to hucksters looking to profit off the historic moment.
We are implementing tax reform. We just spent literally the morning upstairs working on our tax reform plan, tax reform rollout. We are going to hit the ground running literally this month on tax reform. We know that taxes is a huge problem in the United States. We are not competitive with the rest of the world on the business tax and on the personal income tax. We know we have to get that done.
I'm not putting anybody on a moral plan. What I'm saying is this. You had a group on one side and you had a group on the other, and they came at each other with clubs, and it was vicious and it was horrible, and it was a horrible thing to watch. But there is another side. There was a group on this side, you can call them the left, you've just called them the left, that came violently attacking the other group. So you can say what you want, but that's the way it is. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's August 16th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day is underway. We have lots to cover, too, in the program this morning. Coming up, the business of pets. We're going to be talking about National Immunization Awareness Month. Have you got your dog or your cat all the shots that it needs? We'll talk about the business of that and how vets are trying to make sure that you understand how important this is. If I told you that rabies was making a resurgence, would you believe that? Also coming up, we'll talk about getting your kids, young ones, ready for a life of financial literacy. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward another positive open on Wall Street, up 57 points right now. NASDAQ futures are up about 21 points. S&P futures are up about 7. In Asia this morning, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei off just about a tenth of a percent. In Hong Kong and in Shanghai, Hang Seng also higher today, with the Hang Seng up about a full percent at 234 points. In Europe, markets are generally higher as well, with everything up about a percent, almost a percent, in London, in France, and Germany, up almost 101 points right now in Germany. So the market's looking good this morning. Crude oil is at $47.86 a barrel. A couple of stories we're watching since you went to bed last night. In Great Britain, they're saying there must be some sort of border control between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic after Brexit. But it's flexibility and imagination that will be needed, according to the talks that are underway there. Maybe an invisible border once the UK leaves the European Union. Ireland will remain a member. Also this morning, Fiat Chrysler is teaming up with BMW and Intel to develop an autonomous driving system. The companies say the system will be used by automakers worldwide to run self-driving vehicles. It'll be flexible so automakers can keep their unique brand identities. Also today, President Trump has ripped into business leaders who resigned from the White House jobs panel, the latest sign that corporate America's romance with Mr. Trump is faltering. This came after his equivocal response to violence by white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia. During an impromptu news conference yesterday at Trump Tower in New York City, the president said they're not taking their job seriously as it pertains to this country, referring to the CEOs who have left. After his remarks, a fifth member of the manufacturing panel resigned, AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka, who said in a statement, "We cannot sit on a council for a president who tolerates bigotry and domestic terrorism." In our spotlight this morning, how about financial literacy? Mark Horner is here with us. He's the president of Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook. We're going to talk about getting your college freshman financially literate. Mark, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Great to be with you, Steve.
This is a good point, and we should tell folks, you've just taken your daughter to college, so you're right in the middle of this.
I am. I'm still recovering a bit emotionally from our first going to college this weekend. So, yeah, it's a big change and transition both for our daughter and the family.
Well, congratulations, and hopefully you'll pull through.
Thank you.
Sure, things will be fine. But let's talk about financial literacy. Freshmen, I know lots of different things are happening to college freshmen as they go to college. So many new things that they have to deal with. financial literacy, how high up on the list is that?
Well, I think it should be quite high on the list because no matter what your major ends up being in college or what life brings you after college, there are certain things that we all need to face financially speaking. And so to try and prepare your kids to make those decisions now, I think is very, very wise parenting.
And so when we talk about financial literacy, what are we talking about?
Well, I think with kids and college freshmen, it starts with just the basics. And so when I went to college, one of the things at the bookstore was a big table with credit card applications.
Right.
And
I
so,
remember that.
Yeah, American Express and Visa, they're out there looking to get new clients. And so to talk with your kids about the responsible use of credit, I think is a great place to start. And it doesn't need to start with a credit card. What we've done with both our daughter and kids of our clients is recommend starting with a debit card so that they can walk before they run with credit. It's hard to get yourself into too much trouble with a debit card versus a credit card.
And you bring up a good point too about having starting that credit early is not a bad idea. But some of these credit card companies, it's almost like they prey on college campuses, don't they? Or is that going too far?
I don't know if that's going too far. I think there's certainly an element of that. And so that much more important to talk with your kids before they're put in that circumstance when they're standing in front of that table all by themselves and they've got to make that decision for themselves. Have a conversation before that circumstance arises so they know how to deal with that.
You would hope that by the time kids get to college, they've had money, they've been able to have, you know, some sort of life, maybe even a car, whatever finances. But that's not the case for a lot of kids in terms of financial management, is it? I mean, they're kind of silly when it comes to money.
Well, they can be, and I'm not so sure that too much of that blame should be laid at the kids' feet. There's something about the topic of money that in general people seem to be a little uncomfortable in talking about. And so I think the key with kids is being comfortable in talking about it and not letting them learn from their friends or learn from what they see on reality TV and have those candid conversations with kids. And frankly, I don't think those conversations can start soon enough.
Is this a conversation that begins, son, daughter, sit down, let's have a talk, the birds and the bees kind of talk, or is it a little less serious than that? How would you start it out?
Yeah, I don't know that it needs to be as dramatic as that. I'd say even for your fourth or fifth grader, when you're out at a restaurant, let them look at the restaurant check when the bill comes to make sure that you're being charged for the things that were actually served at the table, and let them have some input in both calculating the tip and determining the amount of the tip. That's gonna help them practice their math, which they're gonna need as part of life, and start to understand the relationship between money and service provided. So again, I think it can start as early as somebody's comfortable starting.
And you talked about the debit cards earlier for college kids, but there are all kinds of different products out there now where you can start those debit cards even as young as, you know, fifth grade, sixth grade. I know there's kids that are getting these where you can set their allowance limit on those cards.
So you're absolutely right. And the way that parents, I think, should think about this is going down to the bank and having a joint account. So that would be with either mom or dad and your son or daughter. That does not need to be, they can be in high school. They don't need to be going off to college. That's going to accomplish a couple of things. One is the bank is going to give you, the parent, information about the account. So if your name isn't on the account, the bank can't share information with you. And it's also going to help you monitor what's going on in the spending for the kids. You're going to get real-time information about where they're swiping that card.
Mark, I have lots more questions, so hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're here with Mark Horner this morning. He's the president of Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. A mixed market on Tuesday pushed the Dow Jones 5.25 points higher to 21,998. But the NASDAQ closed 7 points lower at 6,333. The S&P 500 was off 1 point. President Trump has ripped into business leaders who've resigned from his White House jobs panel after what some of them called his equivocal response to violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. 5 CEOs have now quit the president's manufacturing council. Mazda is recalling nearly 80,000 cars and SUVs to replace dangerous Takata airbag inflators, which have been linked to the deaths of as many as 19 people. For some of the Mazdas on the new recall list, it'll be the second time in the shop. Silicon Valley, Ohio, Facebook has announced that it will spend $750 million on a new data center in the Buckeye State, employing about 100 people. The 22-acre site northeast of Columbus will be powered exclusively with renewable energy. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on with Mark Horner this morning, the president of Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook, getting kids financially literate. What's the million-dollar cup of coffee initiative?
Yeah, so that's a financial literacy campaign that we started a little over a year ago in response to interns over the years, just, again, expressed real enthusiasm for learning about personal finance. And so we decided, we thought that there just aren't enough tools out there that are geared towards younger people. And so we decided to put together a campaign to try and address that problem. And so talking about fundamental concepts in personal finance in relatable terms. So it's we produce short videos, 3 minutes or so each month, talking about different concepts in personal finance, totally jargon free.
That's the important thing, because I think when people start hearing the jargon, they start glassing over, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where do people find those? Where can we go and listen to and watch those?
So we distribute those on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and then also they sit on our company homepage, which is at fairhavenwealth.com.
You mentioned earlier about parents being involved in this, and I would imagine the tough part of that is if a parent isn't financially literate, that might rub off on kids. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that is a fair assessment, and I think it's important for parents to, or for all of us actually, to recognize our own strengths and weaknesses. Not everybody is strong in everything, and so if a parent happens to be not particularly strong in personal finance, that doesn't mean that they should just let their kids go out into the world and learn on their own. Maybe that's an opportunity to come together as a family and learn about personal finance together. And so, I'd encourage everyone to take a look at those videos on our website. That initiative started with a geared towards a younger audience. It's been amazing. It's been amazing to see the reaction from our core clients, who tend to be 40, 50, 60-year-olds, to watch those videos and learn about those concepts.
And the million-dollar cup of coffee, is that all the money we're spending on coffee? Is that where you got that from?
That is not. The way the campaign started was a short survey to gauge interest and try and get an idea of how the campaign might be organized. And what we did is we said, so if we showed you how to save the equivalent of a cup of coffee a day when you start at age 20, to become that'll turn you into a millionaire by the time you retire, would you be interested? And so, yes, was the response. So right. That's the concept of compound interest in finance. And the response that we got from the survey, the people that filled out the survey, was overwhelming. They loved that analogy. So we just ran with that.
Very nice. You know, the other, I guess, the elephant in the room where it comes to finances, and when we talk about college kids, is this just overwhelming student debt that's out there. How much does that play into the financial literacy of kids?
Very much so. So kids that are going into college, well, sometimes if you're looking at student loans, you could be faced with one of the biggest financial decisions of your life, and to go into that decision unequipped is just not the way to go. So all the more important, student debt is a reality. All the more important to be educated about your options there before you make those decisions, because once you get into a student loan, it's very difficult to get out of it.
Right. And the debt, too. I mean, we've been talking on this program a lot about how it's impacting the larger economy of our country, in that you have kids who are out of college still paying off debt. They can't afford the things that drive the economy, like a home and a car and all that stuff. So it'll follow you for years and years.
It does. And it gets the same protection that income taxes get in terms of relief. And so there's very little opportunity to get away from it. Very important to think through that decision. And again, if you're not feeling personally equipped to make those decisions, to reach out to some sort of financial advisor. We'd love to talk with you, but there's lots of qualified financial advisors out there to help you with that decision.
Mark, I have to tell you, when I was a kid, my parents got me a checkbook. It was back when we had checks, and it was the coolest thing ever. I remember I was in fifth grade, and I got my own checking account and everything, and I think that helped me be financially literate today. So I wholeheartedly agree with starting early.
I completely agree, Steve. We've done the... I'm not... Checkbooks, maybe with online bill payment, may not be as prevalent today.
Do they even make checks still? I don't
know. They do, but I mean, even back with the starting younger with younger kids, you can still get a passbook savings account so the kids can see their balance growing. Interest rates aren't very high today, but there is something about seeing what you're doing on paper to reinforce the lesson you're learning.
Well, Mark, it's good meeting you. Thank you for coming in today. Fairhaven Wealth Management. What were the websites again?
So it's fairhavenwealth.com, and we're out in Oak Brook.
All right.
Thanks,
Mark,
Steve.
Good to meet you.
And
thank
you.
Mark Horner from Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:40. Glad you're here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Bet you have a four-legged friend there near you or maybe at home. Have you got all the shots? Are they up to date? That's our topic this morning with Dr. Lowell Ackerman. He's a veterinarian at Orvet Genetic Pet Care. Dr. Ackerman, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Morning.
This is an immunization push. It's National Immunization Month. August is. What do people need to know about pet immunizations off the top?
Yeah, well, just as in humans, vaccines trigger protective immune responses in pets, and it helps them to fight off a variety of diseases now and even years later when they're exposed. To accomplish this, they typically need to get an initial injection and then periodic follow-up boosters to keep that protection alive. And some of the vaccines may be able to completely prevent infectious disease, while others may be able to lessen the severity. In any case, vaccinated pets also tend to save families money because it's generally much cheaper to prevent a problem than to treat one. It's also important to realize that while vaccines are important to protect our pets, some also play an important role in protecting us, the humans who live with them. For example, the best way of protecting people from rabies is to ensure that all domestic animals are vaccinated. And so local, state, and federal ordinances may dictate vaccination for certain diseases.
I was going to ask, is rabies the biggest one of all of these? If you weren't going to vaccinate your dog or cat for anything else, should it be rabies?
Well, rabies is of prime importance because, of course, it's transmissible to us, to humans, and so it becomes a major public health thing. And in fact, in most states, in most jurisdictions, it's mandated by law that pets need to be protected. Now, pets don't need to be vaccinated for everything for which a vaccine's been developed, and veterinarians are responsible for developing a personal life plan for each pet, and that includes determining not only which vaccines are appropriate, but also the interval at which revaccination is warranted. Veterinarians make this determination based on different criteria, such as public health requirements, the risk of exposure in a pet's life, travel that the pet might do to other geographic regions, and a variety of other factors. But to answer your question more specifically, vaccine selection is really all about managing risk. And veterinarians take this responsibility very seriously. So as part of a personalized medicine approach, veterinarians and their teams will often ask pet owners a lot of lifestyle questions, or they'll use a questionnaire to help them discern risk. And such a risk profile may include questions that examine potential exposure to other pets, including at a groomer or at a boarding facility, if the pet travels outside the immediate area, whether the pet has access to wooded areas, or it might drink from streams, or whatever might be relevant in that given environment. And then on that basis, a personalized life plan can be created based on the pet's own risk of exposure as part of a personalized medicine approach.
I was surprised doing research for this morning about how the number of rabies cases is surprisingly high in some places in the world, and people are still dying. Humans are still dying of this.
Yeah, that's very true, especially when we look. Well, actually, we don't have to go that far from the United States. Even the number of cases in neighboring countries like Mexico are quite alarming in a disease that's really entirely preventable.
The other part of that, too, is sometimes we hear that diseases have been conquered by vaccines. Is rabies the high on the list of those diseases that experts like yourself want to conquer?
Well, you know, in essence, we've done a very good job. We have very effective vaccines, and we may not be able to eliminate rabies entirely because, of course, it lives in wildlife reservoirs. So unless we can prevent it in raccoons and virtually all warm-blooded mammals, we're going to have to rely on vaccines, and that's why it's so important. Now, you know, when it comes to personalized medicine, we are living in really very exciting times because for the first time in collective history, we're able to personalize our approach to medicine and make it relevant for each individual pet. You know, and as we've talked about, vaccination is part of the process, and we can tailor an immunization program to a pet based on its risk factors, but it really doesn't end there. And when we consider the major health risks for pets, their exposure to certain infectious diseases is certainly important, but genetics is actually one of the most important determinants of what diseases a pet's likely to develop over time. So when it comes to most of the non-infectious diseases to which we're susceptible and our pets are susceptible, it's really family history and genetics that tells us who is most at risk for problems. And lifestyle can definitely play a role in pets as well as in people, but we really can't minimize the part that genetics plays in susceptibility to a variety of health problems. So personalized medicine tries to put all those pieces together for an individual.
And that's an exciting thing, too. Right, because it's an exciting thing, too, because, you know, for people who don't know the genetic history of their pets, the science in this area is growing where vets like you and organizations like yours have been able to find those pieces of information out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, personalized medicine pulls all the pieces together. Things like the immunization, things like we're talking about. But we can also take a look at a variety of other health concerns that pets get. And we may be able to prevent problems, but we can also detect them earlier. We have the most options available for cure or control, how to manage them. So an important piece of that puzzle is genetic screening. And it's not only becoming more widespread in people, but it's accessible for pets as well. And it's really quite exciting, and it makes a major difference. It's all about understanding risk. And genetic testing is just one way of determining susceptibility to a variety of diseases and traits that might affect a pet over its entire lifespan. And we can take a sample quickly, easily, painlessly with a cheek swab or with a tiny amount of blood. We can send it to a lab like Aurovet, and it can reveal a lot of information about the pet and which conditions warrant further scrutiny.
Doctor, we have just about a minute or so left, but I wanted to get your thoughts on what the biggest hindrances are where people don't come in and do these shots like they are supposed to. Is cost a big factor here, and is that a factor perhaps that's being lessened these days now that these advances are being made?
Actually, vaccines are very cost effective. I mean, they are mass-produced and available, and they're actually quite inexpensive. So cost isn't really a rationale. I think education is an important consideration. I can certainly recommend that pet owners have meaningful discussions with their veterinarians about personalized medicine, immunization, and genetic screening. There's also a lot of great online resources with pet-friendly information, and I can certainly recommend the American Veterinary Medical Association, the American Animal Hospital Association, and, of course, Aurovet at Aurivet.com to provide a lot of information and resources to anyone who is interested.
Well, Dr. Ackerman, thank you for the information, and thanks for being with us this morning here on The Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve.
Dr. Lowell Ackerman from Aurovet Genetic Pet Care. Again, their website is Aurovet.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up about 50 points now, and NASDAQ futures are up about 17. Gold and silver are both trading lower this morning. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture. And good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Let's start with the good market news from yesterday. Live cattle futures closed sharply higher thanks to some bargain buying after the down market we've seen over the past few weeks. August cattle ended a dollar higher at $110.05. Now the bad news in the grain market. We saw corn dropping to a 10-month low yesterday, soybeans down to a 6-week low, rains boosting expectations for bumper crops here in the U.S. But at the Illinois State Fair yesterday, there was, well, some pretty good prices paid for some of the champions. The Grand Champion Barrow of the Illinois State Fair, shown by Cooper Bertolino of Christian County, the Grand Champion Barrow brought $25,000 paid by the CME Group in Chicago. And the cattle, well, the Grand Champion Steer, shown by Olivia Caldwell of Elmwood, Illinois, went for $50,000 paid by Governor Bruce Rauner, not from tax dollars, but from his personal checking account. And the young lady in her teens doing pretty well in the show ring at the Illinois State Fair. They've got a good fair going, and it goes through Sunday. Hope you'll get there to enjoy Illinois agriculture and livestock and a corn dog or a ribeye steak sandwich. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now I'm craving a corn dog and a ribeye steak sandwich. Finishing out our program this morning, how about some Cheetos? Gourmet Cheeto restaurant has opened up in Manhattan. It's a three-day pop-up restaurant devoted to all to Cheetos. Every table already booked with diners ready to pay between $8 and $22. Here are some of the things on the menu. Cheetos meatballs, Cheetos crusted fried pickles, Cheetos tacos, mac and Cheetos, and even Cheetos cheesecake. Again, just a pop-up restaurant. But given that it's already booked, who knows? Maybe it'll stick around in Manhattan. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Wednesday, August 16th. The Commerce Department releases housing starts for July, and the Federal Reserve releases minutes from its July interest rate meeting. Target Corporation is reporting earnings. Target says its second quarter profit was $672 million. That's $1.22 per share. The Minneapolis-based retailer posted revenue of $16.43 billion in the period. That also topped Wall Street expectations of $16.28 billion. Also today, the first round of NAFTA negotiations with the U.S., Canada, and Mexico take place in Washington. A new report out today by Caring.com looks at the best and worst places to grow old. The study ranked all 50 states in 13 financial, health care, and quality of life category. Utah is at the top of the list. This is the deadline for health insurance carriers in 39 states that use healthcare.gov to submit any final adjustments to the proposed 2018 rate requests. And Forbes magazine's out today with its list of highest paid actresses. Jennifer Lawrence, by the way, topped that list last year. Those are some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday. It's August the 16th.